Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough and a Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about how to respond to the world. And the reason why, just the other day, I went to New York and had a blast with my mother, my sister. I surprised them with a trip because my mother's never been to New York. And so we went, had an amazing, I think, 4 or 5 days. It was great. But one of the things when I came back home that hit me on the plane coming back home was the idea of worldliness, the idea of world. What exactly does worldliness mean to you? What does the world mean to you? So what I did was I posted on my Facebook, which by the way, you can definitely sign up. Go to I think facebook.com/identitynetwork. I'd love for you to begin to sign up and see what's going on in our Facebook world. But one of the things that I posted on there was, can you explain to me in your own words what is worldly? What does it mean to be worldly? You know, we hear that a lot. I hear that a lot in my life coaching sessions I have with people, to so many people who will contact us and say, well, you know, so-and-so is worldly, or that's worldly. And I always want to begin to ask them, what does it mean to be worldly? Now, first of all, when we say worldliness and how to respond to the world, we've got to be able to understand what worldliness is and what that means. You know, if you really look at the term worldliness, let's say, for example, we're in New York, we're in LA, we're in Chicago, we're in Birmingham, Alabama, we're anywhere you want to be, in some major city. And the reason why I'm going to take cities as opposed to the countryside is because there's more activity, folks. Let's face reality. There's more buildings. There's more people. There's more activity as opposed to just, you know, dry land. And so we look at these scenarios of these cities and we say to ourselves, you know, well, that's worldliness, you know, or that there's a spirit of worldliness around here. And I hear people say that all the time. And I always want to challenge people. And here's why I want you to begin to kick in that thinker of your spirit, to start thinking. The Bible says we think actually with our heart, because it Bible says what? What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I want you to begin to think for a moment with me, because I want to help set you free from this. And that is this. When you look at the world, the word worldly or world, let's say, for example, you are in New York City, downtown Manhattan. Here you are, you know, Times Square, and all of a sudden there are thousands and thousands of people all around you, lights all around you, flashing billboards, and all the activity and fun, and people with wild color hair walking around you, and all these different things, you know, an ice cream shop over here and a gift shop over here and all these different things. So all of a sudden you begin to look at yourself and say, you know, oh, just this is so worldly, this place is so worldly. They need Jesus bad. Now, first and foremost, let me ask you this question. What makes it worldly? You know, we don't ever stop to think for a moment what we're saying. We're so quick to go by, because we're so much like robots. Let's face reality, folks. Many of us are nothing more than robots. We're just a product of our environment. We're a product of what we feel, you know, we've been taught by preachers or our pastor or what we're hearing on TV. But yet we never question that. And whether you like it or not, a lot of us are robots. We're very robotic in nature because we go by what anyone tells us and we take it as truth and we run with it, do we not? Now, you have to learn to be the observer of your own life. I tell people all the time in life coaching, you have to learn to be the observer of your own life, which means sometimes you have to step out of yourself and see how you're responding to someone else. You have to step out of yourself to see exactly what it is that you're really thinking and questioning and judging that thought to see, is that really correct in theology or is that right thinking? Is this bad thinking? Is this just what I've been taught? Do I even know why I'm thinking this? Now let's go there for a moment. Why are you even thinking what you're thinking? And answer that question. If you can say, because the definition of this thought is this and this and this and this and this, you're doing good. But if you can't, and if you're having to sit there like I have done many times in my life and say, gosh, you know, Jeremy, I never thought about that before, then you know what? You're robotic. Because you've got to learn to step out of yourself to begin to challenge and question what it is you believe. And guess what? You will find a lot of things you believe are actually not even scriptural. They're not biblical. The terminologies are not even, you know, valid in the kingdom of God. And so you've got to learn to do that. So we're talking about worldliness, okay? So let's say, for example, you're in a city and you see everything I just described a second ago. Get a visual, get a mental picture right now of the busyness, the lights, the billboards, the people, the funny dressing, and the stores all around, and thousands of people all around you. Now then, put yourself in the center of all that. Okay? What makes it worldly? Is it all the lights that makes it worldly? If that's the case, then we should have lights in our home. Because if lights can be worldly, then imagine too many lights would make us, what, I guess, hellbound, if that's the case. Okay, so is it the billboards full of flashing, signs of designers and clothing or food? Does that make it worldly? Is flashing of billboards make something worldly? No. Okay, then does the people, that's it, all the people around us dressing differently. You know, maybe some wearing gray jeans, or some wearing tight skinny jeans, or some wearing, you know, dresses down to their ankles, or some wearing miniskirts. Did the people make it worldly? No. Because if that was the case, that means if too many people would make it worldly, even with different dressing, that means you shouldn't go to a church with more than five people, because then you're surrounded by a lot of people as well with different types of clothing on. Now, you might say to yourself, but no, hold on. You know, the paradigm I have in my brain is letting me understand that it's what I sense. I feel the spirit of worldliness here. Okay, let me ask you this question. Is it not true as well that sometimes what we think or what we believe and what we think is validated by our own thought process, is that not all our perception? And isn't our perception most of the time built on what we've been taught, what we've been told? And you might say, oh no, it's the Holy Spirit. Then let me ask you this question. What happened when you were in the world, so to say? Here's another terminology of the world. Let's say, for example, before you knew Christ, before you ever went to church, before you ever sang Just As I Am. Well, let me ask you this question. How come your perception of what you believed then didn't bother you? How come your perception then didn't bother you as far as what you saw around you? How come then you didn't say, something just doesn't feel right about all this stuff, you know, or there's a spirit of devils here or whatever? How come you didn't feel it then? Why? Because the fact that when you became a Christian, so to say, and you awakened into that place of understanding the mind of Christ, then all of a sudden your perception changed. Why? Because you started being taught what we call properly or correct. You started being taught something of a system of a certain religion, which, don't get offended when I say that, as far as Christianity goes, but you were taught these things, and so now your perception begins to be broadened or shifted or changed, and so your perception begins to see things in a different light. And so we have to be careful what we call Holy Spirit constantly, what we call, you know, I sense this bad spirit in this, of demonic in this area. Well, how come you didn't sense it before? Why? Because of the fact your new training now, on top of the Holy Spirit, yes, but your new training now has shifted your perception to see and get a visual of what you've been taught and how it should look as now being evil and bad. Now, you might say to yourself, you know, let's not do that. Let's not go there, Jeremy, because I want to spiritualize everything. I want to say everything is either of God or of the devil. And when I'm in an environment I don't understand and it's not comfortable to me, it's automatically I perceive something evil. Well, let me ask you a question. Isn't that judging? Isn't that taking that situation and putting it into a bad light? Is that really fair to the situation? No, not at all. I always tell people this. Be careful what you call the Holy Spirit, and be careful what you call perception. You've got to learn to walk in the area of being led by the Spirit, but also know the power of your own perception, folks. Know the power of to challenge your own thinking of what you call worldly or bad based on not what you've been taught. Listen to me now. The problem with me and you is we've been taught too much. We've been taught things that were not scriptural. We've been taught things that were not bad. We're taught things that everything was bad, or nothing was bad. We were taught these things and we believed it. Your belief system, folks, will either destroy you or make you. Now, knowing that concept, we have to begin to challenge everything we believe. What do you do? How do you know that you're in right standing with God in the sense of understanding what it means to walk in the way of God? Is you have to learn to challenge everything you believe. Be the observer of your own thoughts. Be the observer of your own consciousness. In other words, look at yourself to say, why do I feel what I feel? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Don't go by some vibration, some sensing, some perception. Or even say, I know the Spirit of God. Well, no, because if you did, you would never be sick. If you truly knew the Holy Spirit and knew Him in the Holy Spirit's fullness, you would never suffer. You'd be a multi-billionaire. If you never, ever, ever, ever miss the mark of the high call of Christ Jesus, then if you never did, guess what? You'd be in a state of perfection. You yourself will be a God upon earth. So you can't sit here and say, oh no, I know the voice of God. I never miss the voice of God. Because then you put yourself in that place, plus a place of pride. Folks, we all miss God. So saying all of that, let's go back to our topic now. Worldliness, being worldly or world. What makes a place worldly? What makes a place demonic? Now, once again, did you ever hear Moses ever say, "Ooh, I'm sensing in my spirit this place is demonic"? Never. Have you ever heard Abraham ever say, "Ooh, you know what? I'm really getting a bad feel, a bad vibration, a bad frequency, a bad. I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me in this area. You know, this is a bad atmosphere." No, you've never heard Abraham say that. Have you ever heard Esther? Nope. Have you ever heard John the Baptist? Nope. Let's ask you this question: have you ever heard any of the greats ever say that? Absolutely, positively not. You've heard several things said by Paul, by Jesus, but it was never the attitude of "I'm sensing" or "this atmosphere I sense in my spirit is all demonic." Never have you ever read that in scriptures, ever. Because the Bible says the only place that's even like it to that is a New Testament scripture that deals with the fact that you don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but you wrestle against principalities, wicked spirit, you know, powers in dark places. You deal with the spiritual atmosphere of that environment. And so you're having to understand what it is the scripture's saying. So if it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and it goes on to say powers and different things. Principalities, folks, comes from the word principle. Study it for yourself in the Greek. Principalities come from the word principles. Do you know where principles come from? The thought process. Do you know what God has an issue with more than anything in your life? Is the way you're thinking. Because the Bible says, the Bible never says the devil's God's enemy. That's not even a scripture. Nowhere in scripture does it say that. It says the devil, your adversary. Yes, because the devil hates you because you're one of the images of God on the earth. And so therefore, what is the enemy of God? The carnal mind is the enemy of God. You've heard me say that many, many times in the past. And so the Bible makes it plain. The principalities are not in some sky and some clouds, folks. You know, this is not Apple with their iClouds, okay? We're dealing with a reality that's going on within the process of how you think. That's where the word principalities comes from. And so the carnal mind of man is the enemy of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? The thought process that goes on within your heart, within the high places in your brain, so to say, that's causing the atmosphere, causing your perception, causing the way you think, causing the way that you're acting, causing the way that you're looking to other people to be what? Demented. And therefore, you've got to learn to deal with the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Hello, brain. You've got to learn to deal with the things that mean more to God than anything. God has never said about the heavens being at a place where it was held with all these spiritual demonic, you know, atmospheres. What he was concerned with is the heavens and the demonic activity that goes on within your own brain. And so knowing that, you've got to take a reality check to say, why do I call a place worldly? The word worldly actually is not even something that Christians back then even used. I mean, it wasn't even terminology many of them used at all. In fact, the only place we read the word worldly or world is, "For God so loved the world." And here it actually brings into light where God actually loves the world. And so, we say, well, we know that the spirit of darkness, the devil, whatever you want to call him, you know, is he's in charge of the system of this world, because the Bible says that. You're exactly right. But guess what? If you're a part of the system, then he's not part of your life. And what is the system? The system is the way, is a thought process in the things you're seeing. So therefore, worldliness has nothing to do with the added, with how people are dressing on the streets of New York or Chicago or LA or wherever. It has nothing to do with all the flashing lights and the brilliance and the radiance of all the billboards and the tall buildings. And see, most people, because especially if you get a country person, no offense folks, but if you get a country person, put them smack dab in the middle of Times Square, they're going to freak out because it's too much for them. They've never been in that rush mentality of city and lights and cabs and taxi cabs and cars and honks and, you know, honk, 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 and I mean all that crazy stuff, and because it's overwhelming. And so a lot of times people tend to look at that and say, oh, very worldly here, very worldly. No, hold on. Is it worldly, or is it because of the fact that your mind's never stretched to that type of magnitude to be in a city? Your mind's never stretched the atmosphere or the attitude of being in a place that you've never been before. Hello. So see, we have to quit judging atmospheres and quit judging things around us to say, wait a minute, it's not worldly. Everybody, every place on earth, folks, is worldly. Everybody, everywhere in the world is worldly, because guess what? Worldliness means it comes from the world. And God so loved the world, so therefore everything comes from the world, but it doesn't mean you're part of the world system, which means the system is not about flashing lights and people and billboards and all this other stuff. The system is a mindset. The system is a collective conscious. Now, I want you to write this down if you can within this broadcast. The system of the world is a collective consciousness that is birthed forth within the carnal mind of man that tends to spread universally to where they're on the same page of utilizing nothing more than themselves and not the presence of God, nor even in the presence of other people. So you're talking about two different things. It's a collective consciousness that is birthed forth in the mind of man that is more universal in nature, that people with a carnal mind think that is outside of getting help from God, getting help from the Christ within other people, and relying upon their own entity to be their own presence, their own God. And so therefore, you have to look at it that way. That's actually what it's talking about. And so guess what, folks? New York is not worldly. Chicago is not worldly. You know, they are, but they're not. Birmingham, Alabama is not worldly. It is, but it's not. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because it's part of the world, so it'll always be worldly, but not in the terminology in which you've been, as a charismatic, you've been thinking for so long. Because what makes something worldly is the thoughts of man. So, when you look at that, you have to begin to shift and reshape the way you've been thinking. Do some adjustments, folks, on your brain. Do some adjustments within the soul. Do some adjustments. Be the observer of yourself and start taking an outward and an inward look to say, I've really been messed up the way I've been taught. Because when I go to New York, folks, I have a blast. When I go to Chicago, I have a blast. I go out on the town. I eat at great, fine restaurants. I see movies. I see plays. I see Broadway. I go to Broadway. I take taxi cabs. I have a fun time seeing the different clothings of people. You know, seeing what people are doing on the street corners as far as juggling balls or preaching the Bible or even selling products, selling purses, you know, whatever it is you see on the streets, I'm cool with all that stuff. None of that is worldly. All of that is basically just the human mind producing things of a busy area. Now, worldliness is a thought process that, guess what? I'm not entertaining. I'm not going there. And everyone around me in what you would consider worldly could have that mindset. But guess what? I'm not in their mind. Guess what? I don't focus on the elements of their mind. I don't go by the elements of this world. I go by the elements of the kingdom of God, utilizing his thought, his mind, and moving in that. So my ways are going to be different from their ways. My thoughts are going to be different from their thoughts. Isn't that what God said about himself towards us? That his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we go on to understand by the Spirit of God that I can be raised up into moving into the mind of Christ, the conscious mind of Christ, and understanding that way, that avenue of thinking, and moving on into that vein to get it, to grab a hold of it. Are you with me? So, by the way, thank you again for tuning into our broadcast today. I really appreciate that. If you're wanting more information about what we're talking about as far as the mind, this how to think, how to restructure the brain, I want to tell you about a course I put out recently that will change the way you live your life. I promise you that. Guaranteed. We've had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. Well, you know what? I'm lying on that one. It's thousands of people who have taken this course. And it's called the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. You need to get the course today because it's about 12 to 14 CDs, a DVD, a book, all that's fun stuff to help you grow and help you to learn to be the observer of your own self, how to move on into the mind of Christ, that universal mind, why I call it. Why do you want to call it universal mind? Because guess what, folks? Everything in the universe was made by his mind. Hello. And so I'm talking about the mind of Christ that expands universally because God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Let there be's are all around us, folks, in the valleys and the trees and the mountains. It's in the creative things that man creates that are beautiful and are spectacular. It's all around us. And we need to understand what it means to move into the mind of Christ. And on this course, you will learn everything there is to know that God has shown me on the mind, the process, the attraction of attracting to your life from the mind of Christ. This course will blow you away. It's called the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. Now you can find that course in a full, complete digital download. Get it to your email within minutes. The entire course, because we have the ebook as far as the book format. We have the MP3 as opposed to CD format. We have the MP4 as opposed to the DVD. We have all that stuff, and it's all comparable to work on the Mac and the PC. So you're safe no matter which one you have. All right, or you can order all the hard copies, and we ship the entire course to you in the mail. To your post or to your mailbox, and we can ship it out today. So either way, go to either nowisyourmoment.com and go to the store and you can find it, or go to identitynetwork.net and then look under courses and programs and just order the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination as a digital download, which is a lot cheaper, or as the whole course as a hard copy. We can ship it out to you in the mail today. All right, if you want to place your order, by phone, you can call our office at 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. Anybody can take your order. So give us a call now, 205-362-7133. Give us a call, place your order for the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. You will love the course. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon, and I can't wait for you to tune in to our next broadcast.